Open your Bible today to Psalm 91, and we're talking about God's perfect protection. We're talking about the covenant of protection. Very relevant word for today, because we're in a dangerous world. You heard Pastor Kim talk about a couple of things just in the last few weeks in our own life. We're in a dangerous world, and we need to know that we don't have to live in fear, worry, dread, or anxiety. We don't have to be held hostage to our circumstances. That God wants to be our protector. And Him, and in Him, we can have perfect protection. Psalm 91 is the best chapter in the Bible on God's protection. It is the chapter. It is the best one. You need to be familiar with it. I heard Billy Brim say one time, many of you know Billy Brim, how she would speak this over her children when they were growing up before they'd go to school every morning. So, you know, it's good for you to be familiar with it as a parent, that your children know about it, and that we believe what it says. If God said it, we believe it. So Psalm 91, and we looked at it last weekend. We're going to look at it today. We're going to go verse by verse. We don't have a whole lot of time to expound on each verse, but we're going to bring out principles that are applicable for you and I. Tools. I want to give you tools that will arm you so you can walk in peace, security, and safety in a hostile world. And so I encourage you to take notes, follow along in your Bible. Now, guys, I may go from Psalm 91 to 1 John chapter 3 and other verses as we go along. So thanks for being prepared. I appreciate it very, very much. So we said last weekend, before I read Psalm 91, I'm going to read it today from the New Living Translation. But before I do, we found out last week that we have to give God a legal right to protect us. Right? We have to give God legal right. You see, Pastor, this is new for me. I haven't a clue what you're talking about. Well, we have to give God permission. Really? Yeah, we've got to give God permission to save us. Right? He can't save us until we call on Him. We have our part and His part. That's the premise. That's the thesis. You have to know, I have a part that I have to do for me and mine, and then God will do His part. God will not do His part until I do my part. And I told you last week, I gave you three. I'm going to add four. But we said that we give God legal access through our confession. Through our confession. We never rise above the level of our confession. In other words, if we talk lack, we'll live in lack. We talk defeat, we'll live in defeat. We talk worry, we'll live worried. You never rise above your words. Our words locate our spiritual maturity. Our words locate our spiritual maturity. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to someone talk for 30 seconds, and you know the condition of their spirit. You know the condition of their heart. That doesn't mean our organ heart. It means our heart spirit, our inner man. And so the Bible says, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. So whatever I'm saying locates my spiritual maturity, locates my depth in my walk with God, locates, you know, where I am in my journey called Christianity. So we said that through our confession, and then number two, we said through our obedience. We give God legal access to protect us through obeying. The Bible clearly states when I'm in disobedience, angels do not protect me. It's all through the Bible. You know your Bible, you know it to be true. That when I'm in disobedience to God's word, when I'm out of God's will, angels aren't obligated to protect me. Pastor, do we have angels? The Bible says we do. The Bible says when we were born as a baby, we were given a guardian angel. That guardian angel stays with you all through your lifetime. He is to defend you, guard you, protect you, and he's been charged to watch over you by God Almighty. But I have to live in obedience. And then number three, what gives God legal access, a legal right, is my what? Faith. My belief system, my faith. I have to believe it for it to work. I have to believe it for it to work. If I'm not in faith, I'm in fear. There's no in between. I'm either in faith or fear, right or wrong, positive or negative. Boy, there's an anointing here today. This is uncommon. This is unusual. If you're new to our church, this is God, okay? This is the atmosphere where God resides. So it's important then that we understand those three premises. There's a premise for every promise. There's a premise for every promise. What does that mean? I have to meet the condition before God will fulfill it. All right? If it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. I sound like Bishop Bronner. He's coming in a couple of weeks, by the way. For our anniversary, church anniversary, 38 years, Bishop Dale Bronner will be with us. We're excited about that. Psalm 91, let's go there. Psalm 91. And we're going to read verse 1 all the way through the chapter. But let God talk to you. Okay, let God talk to you because this is the word. Pastor, I need a word from God. I'm about to give you one. Pastor, I need to hear from God. I'm about to show you how. The Bible is God talking to us. When we read it, He's speaking. We just have to tune our ear to be hearing. Psalm 91, verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. Those who live there. We don't visit. It's not once a weekend. It's not only when I'm in trouble. It's not only when I got nothing else to do. God has to be priority for me and my family. Those who live in the shelter, under the wing, under the shadow of the Most High, you will find rest. If I'm restless today, if I'm uptight today, nervous today, then I'm not under the shadow of the Almighty. That I'm not in the shelter, the refuge, the high tower of the Most High God. Unrest is a signal I need to press into God. Unrest is a signal I need to press into God. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty is a name for God. It's El Shaddai. Verse 2. This I declare. Notice, you got to declare it, decree it, before it's ever established. You got to say it in order to see it. What are you saying? I'm saying our church is full again physically. I'm saying the curtains are down. Your family, your friends. I'm saying revival at Church on the Rock. I'm saying God send people from the north, the south, the east, and the west where our message resonates with their spirit. I'm saying you're getting out of debt. I'm saying you're getting creative ideas to start new businesses. I'm saying you're healed, you're whole, you're well. I do every day. I pray that over you. You got to say it before God can do it. This I declare. It's called vocabulary, confession, or my words. This I declare about the Lord. Another name for God. Different. He alone is my refuge. Notice what you declare him to be, he becomes. When you say he's my Savior, he saves us. When you say he's my healer, he heals us. When you say he's my protector, he protects us. This I declare about the Lord. A lot of people, you do understand this. There's 8 billion people on the planet. Billions of people don't know Psalm 91. You do understand that. Let me give you proper perspective. You know, billions of people have never read Psalm 91. Aren't you thankful that you and I have been blessed by God to get a revelation and know Psalm 91? Billions of people. There are 8 billion people on the planet. Billions of people have never read it, don't know hide nor hair about it. This I declare about the Lord. What are you saying about God? He alone is my refuge. He's my place of safety. He's my God. He has to not just be a God. He has to be my God. I don't have to know about him. He has to be my personal God. Personal God. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust. Trust is another word for faith. You know, when our faith and trust, the greatest battle that our faith and trust encounters, am I saying that correctly? The greatest battle, the greatest opposition, the greatest warfare against our faith and trust comes when things that are happening, we don't understand. That's powerful. How many people do you know gave up on God, backslid during the pandemic because they didn't understand what was going on. It's when things are going on in our life and we can't explain it. We don't understand it. But yet it's happening. I'm talking about bad things. I'm talking about delay, disappointment, derailment, depression, discouragement, difficulty. It's when we were believing for something and it didn't happen when we thought it should happen and we don't understand God. Why didn't you do that? That's the greatest warfare on your faith and trust. Can you and I trust Him when we don't understand why it's happening? Powerful. Verse 3. For He will rescue you from every trap. He will rescue you from every trap. You know, I share with you, we give God a legal right through our confession. Y'all with me, family? Through our obedience. And then number 3, through our faith, right? Well, let me give you the fourth one that I want to end on today, and I'm coming back. But the fourth way that God protects us and that we access God's protection is this: heeding God's warnings. Heeding God's warnings is another way God protects us. It's the best story I know. Many of you have heard me tell it, but John Osteen used to tell me, tell the same stories over and over again. It builds stability. So I'm going to follow what John Osteen told me. So years ago, I was in Israel, and I had been there with other leaders from Dallas. It was a leadership. We didn't bring the church. It was a leadership tour. And there were three or four other guys with me, and we've gone through all over Israel. We got to meet Prime Minister, not personally, but go to a meeting with him. We got to meet different officials. They took us places that you normally don't get to go. We were in a cool Mercedes air-conditioned bus. It was awesome. It was all paid for. It was all paid for. It was to encourage visiting, people coming over there and visiting again. And so they were bringing leaders from America to let us know it was safe and that it was okay to go there for vacations and tours. So I'm on my way back. I'm in Tel Aviv. This is before 9/11. There was no security like there is now. I'm standing in line, and there's a gentleman in front of me has a backpack on. And all of a sudden, the sirens go off, and all of a sudden, the jeeps and everything and the guys with machine guns, they get out. I'm standing in line outside on the tarmac in Tel Aviv. And all of a sudden, they grab the guy in front of me with the backpack, and they throw him to the ground. Long story short, he had a bomb. He was going to bomb the plane I was getting on. Well, at this time, way back here in St. Louis, Missouri, my wife and her prayer team, my wife said, you know what, I just got a warning. Pastor's in trouble. Just got a warning. Pastor's in trouble. We need to pray. I really believe because they heeded the warning of God, I'm here today. So another way God protects us is He gives us warnings, or can I say a check on the inside? Or can I say an inward witness? Don't override it. We miss the heeding of God's warnings when we're in a hurry. We miss the heedings of God's warnings when we're in a hurry. We miss to heed God's warnings when our spirit is weak, unfed, unnurtured. The greatest counsel, a lot of times when I would counsel, I don't do much anymore. The team does it. But when I would counsel, I learned this from John Osteen again. That's Joel's father. He's in heaven. I learned this from John Osteen. He would always say, when I would go to him and say, you know, Pastor Osteen, what should I do? He'd say, be led. That would frustrate the fire out of me. I want 7 points. I want 3 points. You know, I'm a teacher. I want it laid out. I want it organized. And he would always say, be led. And then one day I realized that was the greatest wisdom for every problem in your marriage, your ministry, your job, your career, your school, your friendships, your investments, your decisions. The greatest wisdom and counsel we can ever get is 2 words, be led. Because if we're led by the Holy Spirit, we will be in tune to hear that check, that inner witness, that still small voice on the inside that says, don't go there. Not now. Don't attend that. Don't hang out with them. Don't get on that plane, that train, that bus. Don't go with those people tonight. Don't go that way to work. Don't take your kids to school today. God protects us through warnings. Y'all remember that Lost in Space, that robot? Warning, warning. Some of you are really old. Warning, Lost in Space. It was Robbie the robot, wasn't it? And boy, y'all, unrenewed mind. Y'all don't know what that's about. That was a great series. For he will rescue from every trap. The enemy has traps. Just like Kim said, when we were going up to her mother's funeral Friday, her mother graduated, funeral was Friday in Iowa. We're going up towards Hannibal. It's pitch dark. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And this guy with a trailer and his big truck, he just starts coming over into our lane. Just right next to us, come start going to our lane. And also we started honking the horn and yelling good stuff at him, praise the Lord. Amen. But that was a trap. Seriously, we could have been killed. We wouldn't celebrate our 48th anniversary this Tuesday. We wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have pastors. Thank God. Thank God. Because the devil has traps for you and me. He wants to take you out. He wants to take you out. He says, for he'll rescue from every trap and protect you from the pandemic and all the viruses that are come. My brother and sister, there's always going to be germs. There's always going to be germs on the planet. This place is cursed. Years ago, he's no longer here. I don't think he's no longer alive. But there was a gentleman years ago in the North Campus who worked for NASA. He was retired, so I guess he's probably graduated by now. In the North Campus, he worked for NASA. He was an usher. He was one of the scientists that helped the water purifier in the spaceships when they go into orbit. And one time he told me, he said, Pastor, if people just knew what was going through their shower head, what was in the water, the amoebas, all the little critters, if they just knew the germs, there's enough in our water to kill us every day of our life. It's amazing. I thank God for his shelter, his covering, his canopy, his feathers, the blood, the name, the word. For he will rescue you from every trap, and he'll protect you from deadly diseases. Next verse. I got to hustle if I'm going to get through today. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings, his faithful promises. They're your armor, and the promises are your protection. Notice, we will save the Lord and he will deliver, right? When you're facing fear and dread, what's coming out of our mouth? When you're facing fear and dread, don't lie there. Don't listen to it. Don't give ear to it. Don't give time to it. Don't put up with it. When fear and dread come your way, the first thing out of your mouth should be what? The promises of God. The promises of God will protect you. Thus saith the Lord. God's not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I will say of the Lord, he's my protector, my defender, my deliverer, and he will rescue me from every trap of the devil. Next verse, verse 5. Do not be afraid of the terrors. That's our part of the night. Nor the arrow that flies in the day. That's our part. It's a choice. Verse 6. Do not dread. That's our part. Do not dread pandemics and viruses that stalk in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Verse 7, though 1,000 will fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils, do we believe this? Oh, that was weak. Don't we believe this? These evils will not touch you. Verse 8, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. And there's coming a day of judgment. God is a God of justice. He won't let ungodliness go on forever. There will be a payday. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Verse 9, if you make the Lord, notice this is our part. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you get born again, if you receive the salvation that Jesus died on the cross, went to hell, defeated the devil, rose on the third day, is now at the right hand of the Father, knocking at your heart's door, let me in. Let me love you. Let me forgive you. Let me be your guide, your protector. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you, our part, make the Most High, another name for God, your shelter. Verse 10, no evil will conquer you. So we do our part, we put God first. We show our family and our children that God comes before anything else. No evil will conquer you and no plague. Do we believe this? Are we acting like this? No plague will come near your home. No plague will come near your home. Verse 11. For he will order. God charges them. God orders his angels. There are ministering angels as part of God's protection program. As part of the umbrella package. Oh, I like it. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Church. Why should I be afraid of going to church? It's God's house. Work, school. Why? He said he'd protect me. If I'm doing my part, he'd do his part. Verse 12. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Verse 13. You will trample upon lions and cobras. Pastor, there's no lions in my neighborhood, but there's some demonic spirits. Pastor, there's no cobras. The only cobra in my, a guy has one in his garage. Shelby Cobra. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You'll crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Serpents are always a representative of the curse. You and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Let the redeemed of the Lord feel sorry for themselves. Let the redeemed of the Lord be fearful. No, let the redeemed of the Lord say, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. So what is this verse talking about? Under God's umbrella package is called the authority of the believer. You trample. You take authority. You have an attack mentality. You know, many of you have heard me talk about a good friend of mine who was a mental toughness coach. And a few years back, his name is Jason. He's been to our church and visited. He was a sports psychologist for the Cardinals, for the Blues, for the Rams, for the Astros, for different NFL, you know, MLB, you know, sports pro. And he would always say this to me, Dave, never forget, attack. That's what he would say to me every time we talk. Last thing. Be relentless and attack. And I texted him this week. I told him I just did a class for Puerto Rico. And the reason we're not going to Puerto Rico is because we're sending our staff to Puerto Rico. So we're staying home with you all. And I found out that David said those who stay back while others go to war will get the same reward as those who went to war. Come on, somebody. So Church on the Rock, you're going to get rewarded for sending our team to Puerto Rico. Amen. So this is authority of the believer, verse 14. Thus the Lord says, got to know what the Lord says. Got to know what God says so I can say it. What's God say? I will rescue those who put me first, those who obey me, those who speak in line with my word and my promises. And the first thing when they're in fear and dread and panic, they don't lie there. They don't take it. They don't put up with it. They don't live with it. They don't get comfortable with it. They don't retreat. They don't restrain. But they attack. And they be relentless in Jesus' name. And they say what the Lord says. I will rescue those who love me. I know y'all love him today. So you can claim that promise that God has delivered you. God is delivering you. And God will always, past, present, future, deliver you. I will protect those, that's God's part, who trust in my name. Knowing his name, you begin to know God. Knowing his name, you begin to know God. You know his character. It builds faith in him and trust in him. Y'all still with me today? Okay, praise God. Guys, let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Everybody say, dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And remember, I told you that you dwell there. You get in the secret place through obedience. That's why we can't say, well, I know Brother so-and-so, they love God, but they died early. I'm not going to build my faith on their experience. Because I don't know what they were doing behind closed doors, and it's none of my business. Right? And he that keepeth, He that keepeth God's word dwells. Remember the scripture in Psalm 91? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. How do I get in that secret place? How do I get in that place of safety? Through obedience to the B-I-B-L-E. He that keeps the word dwells. How do I dwell? How do I get there? I got to treat my wife right, my husband right, my mom, my dad. I got to treat those around me right. I got to put God first. I've got to be a tither. I've got to be a giver. I've got to be a worshiper. I've got to be a praiser. I've got to forget and let go. I can't be bitter. I can't be a gossiper. I can't be a bigot. I can't be a racist. I can't be disrespectful of white people or black people. He that keepeth the word of God dwells in God, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us. By the what? Spirit. How is God going to warn us? By the Holy Spirit. How is God going to protect us? By the greater one on the inside of you as a Christian. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, the Holy Spirit. How is God? He's going to warn us. I believe there's always a warning for every catastrophe, every disaster that everyone has ever encountered. I believe there's been a warning. We heard it from 9/11, right? We heard it from 9/11. I mean, Brother Jerry Savelle, who was here a few weeks ago, who's on our board, he told us a story one time of a pastor, a friend, that his family worked in the tower, and that morning they felt a check. Don't go to work today. Don't go to the tower today. And guess what? They didn't, and they lived. Wow. So we're not condemning anybody. We're not blaming anybody because we're all learning. But we have to believe that God is a God of love. Well, why didn't they hear him? Probably too busy. Come on, somebody. I know I've missed him. I've missed him. When, Pastor? None of your business. I've missed God. And every time I've missed God, it's because I've been too busy or my spirit was too weak and I wasn't tuned in. Because I was more in the natural than the spiritual. That's me. That's moi. So he that keeps the commandments, you dwell. That's how you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. And then let's look at Matthew chapter 2. Sure do love y'all. I sure do love y'all. You're awesome, you guys. Matthew 2. Now, everybody say warnings. Okay. So those warnings, that's that inward witness. So when God's leading us, I never look outwardly to be led by God. Never do. The world is flaky. The world is crazy. It's dangerous. What we thought we could trust in, we found out we couldn't in people or institutions during the pandemic. So I never look around me to determine where's God leading me. Never. The Bible says you're to look inward. The Bible says when you are being led, you never look for a sign. You look inward. You never look for a sign. You look inward. You look on the inside. It's that what we call check. It's you just got a peace about it or you got a check about it. Am I right? Kenneth Hagin used to say, there's a check. It's like washing your feet with your socks on. You ever tried to wash your feet with your socks on? It just doesn't feel right. Right? It just doesn't. In the book of Acts, they use this phrase, seemeth good to me. It just seemed good to me to go here today. It just seemed good to me to do this or that and the other. No, today, go a different road. No, today, don't go there. No, today, don't do that. What is that? That inward witness, still small voice. If I'm too busy, if I'm on the internet more than I'm in the Word, I'm going to miss the warning. If I'm on social media more than I'm in the Word, I'm going to miss the warning. Too many voices on social media. This is Jesus. This is how God the Father protected Jesus. He did it with a warning. This is how God protected the Son from heartache, disaster, and murder as a human being. How did he do it? Through a warning. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. This is the three, how many kings there were. And when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12. And being warned. and being warned and being warned. This is what he did for Joseph and Mary. And this is what he did actually as well for the kings. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return the same way they came. They departed into their own country, look, another way. You know, a few years ago, we had stalkers. Can you believe that? That wanted to do me in. We had stalkers. I had to wear a protective vest. We had some people that, I mean, to know me is to love me. People who hate me, they just don't know me. Come on, give me a break. I love my... And we actually had a stalker that was trying to do me harm a few years ago. And here's what the sheriff's department said to me. Go to work a different way. Never go to work the same way every day. Change it up. Mix it up. So here we see what were the security, what was the sheriff's department telling me? They were telling me, warning. Warning. Right? Warning. So how did God, as Isaiah comes out, how did God protect his son and all that was going on? Through warnings. You go in the book of Acts and you'll read that God warned Paul from going here or going there. Or God would say, it's time to leave the city. It's time to get out. God will give you timing that will protect you. God will give you timing. But my brother, sister, I love you so much. And I'm so thankful for you. But if I'm not putting God first, if I'm not in the Word, if I'm on social media, natural things, I'm feeding the wrong dog on the inside. Remember, there's a flesh dog and a spirit dog. If my flesh dog is stronger than my spirit dog, I won't heed the warning. And I'll step right into the disaster and the tragedy. And then other people will say, why did God kill Pastor Blunt at 67 years old? I thought he was supposed to have 80 years at least. Why would God take our pastor? God didn't take your pastor. Your pastor was listened to bad to the bone. Your pastor was listened to, I can't get no satisfaction. And whatever you young people listen to today. Too much of that and not enough of this makes my spirit detuned. And not in tune when God's trying to warn me and protect me. Don't ride that motorcycle today. Don't drive that car today. Don't go down that road today. Don't go to that meeting, Pastor. Don't go to that part of the inner city. Don't go to that suburb today. No, you don't want to go with that group to that concert. No, you don't want to go to that group to that meeting. What's he doing? But if I'm too busy and I miss it, then whose fault is it? It's Dave Blunt's. Notice I didn't put your word in there, so nobody can get... Send me an email. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, got one more scripture real quick. One more. Let's look at Psalm 31. I love this. Psalm 31, verse 1 through 5. Today's English version. I come to you, Lord, for protection. Where should we go for protection? To the Lord. I come to you, Lord, for protection. I love the word. Never let me be defeated. Ooh, I like it. I like that. Don't you like that? When you were born again, you were born to win. When you were born again, you were born to win. You're not a born loser, you're a born winner. Oh, I like that. I come to you, Lord, for my protection. Never let me be defeated. You are a righteous God. Save me, I pray. Verse 2. Hear me, save me now, Lord. I need it now. Now, today. Be my refuge to protect me. Be my defense to save me. Verse 3. You are my refuge. You are my defense. Remember, the God that you say he is the God he'll become. Guide me. Be led. Lead me. There's a scripture for be led. Lead me. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Press into God. Pastor, I'm not hearing God. Press into God. Less of the world and more of the word. You're my refuge and defense. Guide me and lead me as you have promised. Oh, I like that. We could camp there. Verse 4. Keep me safe from the trap. How's he going to do it? Warning. I wish I'd have had Lost in Space with Robbie the Robot. You miss it. But if you're missing something, I'm telling you. You've never watched Lost in Space. Keep me. This was in the 60s. Keep me safe from the trap. There's a trap out there today. Every day of your life, the devil sets up a trap. You do know that, right? He never takes a vacation. Keep me safe from the trap that has been set for me and shelter me from danger. That's another word Robbie the Robot would say. Danger, danger. Verse 5. what's our part? I place myself in your care. Ooh, Honolulu, jalapeno, hallelujah, hold down. You will save me, Lord. Why? Because you are a faithful God. Can we have a praise break and give God some praise right now? As we close, giving God a legal right to protect us, our words. Number two, our obedience. Number three, our faith. And number four, our heeding his warnings. Be led. I'm done. Can you thank the Lord for how good he is to all of us?
Thanks for watching this week's message. Here at Church on the Rock, our purpose is to help you know God better. And one of those ways is through Growth Track. We have a 4-step process online that you can take anytime, or maybe consider joining us in person. But to take your next step and to find out all the incredible things we have to offer here at Church on the Rock, I encourage you to go over to cotr.org/online, or you can email us at online@cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.